Back at the top of the hour, continuing our discussion on preparing for winter and avoiding any kind of injury. By the way, one thing I forgot to say earlier is, you know, you've heard advertised here one of the products, the Heart and Body Extract, and I think I'd mentioned some weeks ago that I was using and experimenting with that product. I really like that product. Not associated with them, don't get anything for it. I just happen to like the product. It's working well for me. When you get to be old enough, and if you've been injured a few times like I have been, and some of these things accumulate, you have some circulation issues that begin to arise in spite of all the things I can do. And I will tell you that that product has been helping me. I like it very much. So you may want to check it out. You may want to give it a try. It's a good product that's advertised right here, so I can certainly endorse it as a third-party individual who is enjoying the product myself. Talking further about our shelters and how do we prepare ourselves to be okay if we lose utilities, that's what most of us think about. By the way, I know there's some folks out there that are already using a few utilities. Some people produce their own electricity or don't use any electricity. Some people are heating with things other than natural gas and propane and heating oil. And I have some friends that are able to live like that because they live in the middle of a wood lot, if you will. They have plenty of wood that they can easily get, and they have the wood-burning stoves, and take care of themselves very well. And that's great. I applaud them for doing it. Most of us, and I'm one of those, I don't live in a situation right now where I can do that. Even though I'm somewhat in the country, I don't have a lot of trees around me right where I am. I can go to the mountains, and I can bring in wood, and I do that, and I do store it. I just don't use it all the time. It's for part of my backup if I should need it. So some of you, this may not apply. You're already there, and that's tremendous. But other people, let me give you some tips and some ideas here. I mentioned earlier, you know, if you lose electricity, a lot of people's furnaces and their heating shuts down. This is where having a generator may be useful, but you have to be prepared when you run out of fuel or the generator quits. Understand that you may need to limit the amount of your house you're trying to take care of. I mean, you can put in a whole stand-down generator that's just waiting for the power to go out. It can even come on automatically, fire right up, and pick up your whole house. Those are larger, more expensive systems. You may use something that's smaller, a little more portable, just for temporary use, that's going to run some vital things like the furnace fans and the thermostats and those things. But get some professional help if you don't know how to do it, so you'll understand how to isolate some of those circuits so there won't be any injury to people or to equipment. Because if you do this incorrectly, you can set things on fire, you can blow things up, you can do damage. You don't want to do that. So be sure that you get some professional help and guidance to understand how you might be able to generate your own power and run a furnace or some parts of your house. You can do that with photovoltaics, solar cells, charging batteries, running through inverters that will run them. You can do it with small gasoline generators, or you can do it with a small diesel generator. And there's a various sizes available depending on how much your house you want to carry. There's some things that you can do there, but understand it can be fairly expensive. Once you know, the bigger it gets, the more expensive it is. So understand where you're going to begin with and take a look at your budgets. If you're like me and haven't had a huge budget to put in all this backup stuff, it's real simple. The clothing will cost me $50, $60 worth of materials to build, and I don't have to have any backup heat for my house, and so I don't worry about it. You can make different choices depending on both your economics, what your lifestyle is, what your personal philosophy is. Well, let's take a look at the fuels for a moment. Now, if you're going to have some kind of a fuel, some kind of auxiliary heat, there's a lot of different things that you can burn that will produce heat. That will also determine what kind of appliance that you're going to be utilizing, because they kind of have to go together. So we're going to go down that list, talk a little bit about each one of them, and then look at some of the safety issues that are relevant to each one of these, because you have to do this carefully or you'll get yourself in trouble. And that's what we want to avoid, is trouble. Right after this break, Prepare Without Fear.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000-plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Fear, and that's what I believe we should be doing in our lives to face all kinds of things, is preparing ourselves by our knowledge, our understanding, our skill, our spiritual lives, all of these things, so that you can look at the future no matter what it brings. You're ready to deal with it. That doesn't mean perfectly. That doesn't mean you have everything solved. It just means you're calm and at peace inside of yourself. By the way, that will be of great benefit to other people that perhaps haven't prepared themselves, whether they're family, friends, or neighbors, and they're running around kind of like with their hair on fire. Boy, will you be a blessing to their lives if you can simply stand back and say, hey, wait a minute, brother, let me show you what we can do. Let me help you. Just by your example alone, you'll be able to assist them. So that's why I like sharing these things, and I spend time teaching people, because I don't consider that I'm prepared until my neighbors are prepared. We were talking before the break about some of the fuels and auxiliary things that you might be able to do, you may want to consider. So let's first take a look at the kinds of more common fuels that would be available to you. Most people think about auxiliaries as perhaps being the solid fuels, wood, coal. Here's a couple of others that may be useful, depending on what you want to do with them. Charcoal is one. And then wax, as in candles. Now, charcoal, what's the primary thing we would do with that? You're not going to do a whole lot of house heating with that very conveniently. We're going to use charcoal primarily for cooking. If you're not familiar with Dutch oven cooking and some of those things, you may want to learn about it. Of course, you can use the charcoal grill, and that's fine, but it's fairly wasteful in its energy because most of the heat is being dumped into the outside air. Dutch ovens are a wonderful way to cook. So now you've got a way of heating foods, if you will. Waxes and wicks, that's more for candles. We're talking about small fires primarily for lighting, but you can do a little bit of, I'll say, heating of small amounts of water or things, but mostly we're talking about having light using the candles. That brings us to coal and wood. Depending on where you live, they may both or either one of them may be available to you. And those solid fuels can be both stockpiled. That's one of their advantages. They stockpile. All these solid fuels do very well. Charcoal, you can store, you know, thousands of pounds of that very safely. There's not any kind of a fire hazard with them, and there's no regulations that I'm aware of that says how much you can or cannot store. Same thing with wax and with wicks. The coal and the wood, they store very safely. Now, you may have regulations in your area that talk about the kinds of appliances and what you can and cannot burn. That might be an issue, and you'll have to check into that individually. But wood and coal need to be burned in a stove, and a closed stove would be the best that is vented to the outside. So you can have your stove, whether it's a very simple old-style potbelly stove or a barrel stove, those would be fine, right up through very nice closed fireplaces. You like to have a solid fuel burning device, we call it a fireplace, if you will, not as the old fireplace that's built in, but you'd much rather have it as a stove that would be, I'll say, freestanding, or is kind of standing out away from the wall a bit, because then you can get the heat out from all around it, and it wants to be one that you control the air that goes into it. It wants to have doors on it that close up and seal tightly, and then you have a way of controlling the amount of combustion air that goes inside, so you can control the size of the flame and the heat, and you're much, much more efficient with that kind of a stove. Also, if you're using that kind of appliance, it can be very useful to have one of these heat exchangers that goes in the chimney that has the tubes that go through and then a fan that'll blow air through. Of course, considering that the fan is run by electricity, and so you'd have to have a source of electricity. It's a tiny little fan, so you could do that with a car battery and inverter, and it'd run that fan for many, many hours. That'll just pull more heat out of the smoke that's going up the chimney, where you still waste a lot of heat. By having those heat exchangers in there, which I've done for years, you really get some more heat out of the out of that appliance and dump it into the house. Just realize the fan is dependent on electricity, so you have to have a source for that. All right. Here again, check your regulations, see what you can and cannot do. These solid fuels like the wood and the coal, they're much dirtier burning than our other fuels, but in an emergency, it's kind of like, hey, you know, pick one between something that puts out some smoke or cold, so you may want to have that kind of a device to heat your house. You can, of course, use them for heating, for not only for heating, but for cooking, too. If you'll get a type that is designed for cooking, a wood-burning or a coal stove, that would allow you to then, you know, fix meals and heat things and take care of your living needs, that can be a very nice thing to do, too. They get to be fairly expensive, but there are some really nice cook stoves ranges, coal and wood ranges, that are made nowadays. You can find, you can go to some of the places online and you can look up, you know, fireplaces and stoves. You can go to a catalog like Cumberland General Store and Lehman's, and they have stoves and things there. You can take a look at those things, see what you want, but do a search and find what fits your lifestyle if you want to put one of them in. Now, be sure that you have proper installation. That's extremely important. If you're going to do it yourself, study up on it. Be sure you're getting the right kinds of clearances, you're using the right chimney pipe, double wall, triple wall where it needs to be, the types of connectors and everything that's proper. Be sure everything is tied down, bolted down correctly, so that you don't have something open up, leak fumes or smoke into the house, and or set things on fire. Check codes and regulations. The people that you're buying these things from can probably give you some very good advice, or have them professionally installed so that you do not have an issue. Be sure that everything meets code. Sometimes we may complain about some of the codes and regulations. They seem to get in the way in some cases, but a lot of those codes are put in place because somebody burned their house down and died in the house because they did it wrong. So those codes are generally there to protect you. There may be a hassle, but it's going to instruct you in what you do properly so you don't get hurt, you don't lose property, and your family is safe. This is particularly true where you're using auxiliary fuels in fireplaces and stoves. Do that very carefully. Do it right. Okay. What are some of the other things we have? Well, we have some of the liquid fuels that you can consider using. This would be things like white gas, heating oil, kerosene, gasoline. Now, some people are already heating with heating oil. That's not very common in my part of the country, but I know in other parts of the country, oil is delivered. It's very much like a kerosene or kind of like diesel, very, very similar, that is delivered and is burned in a stove, is a liquid fuel, and usually has a circulating fan to blow the heat around, just like you would with a natural gas furnace. So you may already be doing that. If you have that kind of a stove and a heater, then you can, of course, store additional heating oil. Then you have to have the electricity to keep your stove running. So you're partway there if you're already doing that. Other people may be using natural gas, which is most common for me in my area. That's what we have, natural gas furnace. I can lose electricity. The natural gas generally doesn't go off, but I can't run my fans, and this is where you'd want to have the generators again for natural gas if you had that kind of thing. But let's go back to our liquids for a moment. You can have portable kerosene heaters that you could use in the house. And kerosene is an okay way to go, but these small portable ones, be sure you're filling them outside. They are kind of sooty, kind of smoky. Even though you don't see a lot coming out, they will make things gray in the house. Be aware of that. Also, the kerosene or coal oil, fuel oils, they kind of smell. So if you spill them, that's a real problem. And then also, they do give off some fumes. Now, here's the thing about using a device that is an unvented one, like these portable kerosene heaters. First off, they are consuming oxygen in the house, and oxygen is what you need to stay alive, and they're replacing that oxygen with carbon dioxide, a few other things, but it's mostly carbon dioxide that's coming off of them, and that carbon dioxide is also displacing the oxygen. So it's extremely important that you be sure you have good venting when you're running one of these unvented stoves in your house. The kerosene heaters need to be used where you're going to have a little bit of a crack in some windows or a door or some other way of venting the house. Be very, very mindful of that. Here's the other thing about using an unvented heater like a kerosene heater. Do not, and I repeat, do not go to sleep at night with that thing running. These things are to be used and run only when you're up and awake and moving around and doing things. A couple of reasons. Number one, you'll be sure the device is running safely and that it doesn't, isn't too close to something, something's overheating. But the other one is, you'll be aware if the air is getting a little stuffy. If you're having to breathe a little extra hard, you're kind of panting or you're getting kind of like tired, you're getting drowsy. And if you're getting drowsy, it might be because you're running low on oxygen in a tightly sealed room or a house. And that is a problem. Do not sleep with them running where they're unvented, where it just dumps the, if you will, the combustion products into the air in the house. We lose people every year, both in this country and others, that are burning these kinds of devices in a bedroom or a small enclosed space because they're trying to heat it and keep it warm, and they just use up the oxygen, replace it with carbon dioxide, and they just literally suffocate. We would prefer that you didn't do that. Now then, there's other kinds of unvented heaters that you might use. There's some that run on propane. Same rules apply for them. But we'll come back to the gaseous ones in a moment. We'll talk about gasoline and about white gas and some extremely important cautions with them after this break so that you can operate safely using some of these auxiliary fuels if you wish to do that. This is Prepare Without Fear. I am your host, Jim Phillips, on this beautiful Labor Day.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Any questions, you can always email those to me at askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com, and my staff will pick those up and add them to my list of things and topics that we'll be sure that we get covered in the coming days, weeks, and months. Also, you can leave your questions at the toll-free number 888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. And here again, those things will be passed on to me so I can be sure we're covering things that you'd like to see addressed in our program here. I would encourage you to go to preparemyfamily.com. If you haven't already gotten it, you can get the DVD, the principle-based DVD, 2 hours of just solid instruction, $5.50 for the cost of delivering it to you. And that'll cover many of these foundational principles in depth. Also, these same things are available. You can save even money over that if you want. Go back to the previous programs. We're on, let's see, this is program number 15, I believe, so you've got about 30 hours of information that is available to you on the website at RBN. in the archive area. You can listen to all these previous programs. I very much appreciate them doing this so that I can send people there to get answers where I don't have time to answer everything. It's just like, you know, click here, go here, this program, listen to that, there's your answer, and you'll get more than me trying to answer an email that I only have, you know, 5 minutes to answer. You can get some more in-depth instruction. So I really appreciate the folks at RBN doing this, making it available to you. We were talking about fuels, and we're still on the liquid ones. That brings us to the gasoline and white gas. Now, what's white gas? Coleman fuel sometimes, or camp stove fuel. White gas is naphtha, is what it is. It's just it could be turned into gasoline, what has some additives and some different things done in the refining process. It's just the basic combustion part of gasoline. It's called white gas because it's actually very clear versus fuels that have color because of all the additives that are in them. White gas also, because it doesn't have the additives, burns a little cleaner in the devices and in the generators. You don't get as much carbon buildup than you would with gasoline. We have many stoves nowadays that are kind of multi-fuel in that they can use either gasoline or white gas. But they all have a very similar problem. White gas and gasoline-burning appliances, like your lanterns that have the mantles in them, or like the stoves, the camp stoves that you either pump up or self-generating that run on white gas or gasoline, they absolutely, totally, without any question, must be used like outside. They are not intended for use inside of anything, including a tent. And I know there's a lot of people that do that, but let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is that the gasoline type of stoves, they have a couple of problems. The biggest one is when those fuels burn, they give off copious, as in large, huge amounts of carbon monoxide. You have, when you're burning your liquid fuels or any of your fuels, you give off water vapor. And you give off carbon dioxide and then other kinds of components, and some of them give off varying amounts of carbon monoxide. And the gasoline ones are the worst offenders of all for the amount of carbon monoxide that they give off. And carbon monoxide it's a poison. It's clear, it's odorless. It comes out of automobile exhaust as well. And it builds up in the blood. What it does is it binds with the hemoglobin in the blood, and it's very tenacious in its binding. And now then the hemoglobin in the blood, the components that carry oxygen, they're literally bound up with the carbon monoxide so you cannot carry oxygen to the cells, and it doesn't flush out of the body easily. And what happens is you end up suffocating. You're poisoned. And it's not something that you fix by going out into the fresh air all of a sudden, because once that's in the blood, it takes a long period of time for it to get out. It's very slow to come out, and you'll end up dying. And besides, it doesn't feel good. You get terrible headaches and things like that also. I have a family friend who a number of years ago died, and this was an individual who was highly experienced in the outdoors, had lived out, camped out. He had camped with my dad for years and with myself. He had been a part of the Boy Scout troops and these things back in the, started camping with Jack back in the late 1950s and through the 60s and 70s when I was at home around him, and then years later he continued with my dad. But he died because of carbon monoxide poisoning from a lantern in a tent when he was out camping. And as I understand, he was reading and just got tired and fell asleep. The carbon monoxide buildup that occurred during the evening took his life. So you have to be so very careful with them. That's why I say the gasoline-burning devices must be used outside. In fact, my dad almost lost his life to a stove in an igloo. When you have good venting going on, you can use it where you have to vent out the top of the igloo, but there was this horrific storm going on, and he wasn't aware of what was happening. It literally drifted over the top of the igloo several feet, and he thought he had an open vent, and he did not, and it nearly got him in this igloo. There's quite a story behind that, how he got through that one. But carbon monoxide is a real problem. Of course, the carbon dioxide coming out, too, will just suffocate you. More on the safety of fuels in the plants is right after this break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm going to say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America in Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Fear. I am your host, Jim Phillips, talking about some of these safety issues about using auxiliary or backup or emergency fuels in the winter and cold weather. And some people, just in ignorance, because they don't understand, because they're used to having thermostats or stoves or things that work automatically, and they just bring in one of their camp stoves, set it up in the house, and start cooking, and can't figure out why they're getting awful headaches and feeling nauseous and things like that. And then if they're trying to heat their house also, they say, well, let's just leave it going and go to sleep, and they don't wake up. We lose people every year in this country and other areas to carbon dioxide suffocation, carbon monoxide poisoning, and fires because they're trying to sleep with these devices on. Don't ever do that. Use them only when you're up, awake, and tending them and taking care of them. When you go to bed at night, put on your pal's clothing, your thermal johns, and or get under a bunch of quilts and comforters. and stay warm that way. Don't try to heat your house with these auxiliary things that are venting into the house. Now, fireplaces properly installed or the wood-burning stoves properly installed, they're vented to the outside, and when you bank them and close them down, let them run. They're okay to do that. But it's where you're venting into the house, where you don't have an outside vent to dump the fumes, and where they're temporary, they can turn over, get close to things. It's a real hazard, and you must be extremely careful with them. We were talking about the liquid fuels, the white gas and the gasoline, and one of those issues with them about the fumes that they give off. The other one about using gasoline and white gas, they are designed to be used in an internal combustion engine where you have a controlled explosion. It literally is an explosion to drive that piston down. And they have a fairly high vapor pressures. They produce a lot of vapor, and they become explosive. You spill those fumes inside of a house, inside of a closed area, and you can make a bomb with them. So you have to be very careful with them. Any fueling of a device has to be outside. Of course, the use of it should be outside. I mean, if you need to cook some food or melt some snow for water on your white gas stove, do it outside on the porch. Bring those things inside. Don't do it in the house, please. It's such a hazard. There's another liquid fuel that you can use inside the house. We have kerosene, which is reasonably safe to use inside. It's just kind of smelly and sooty, but it does not give off the high amounts of carbon monoxide your gas stoves do. But that's also then alcohol that you can consider using. The one you see very commonly in the stores is you have rubbing alcohol, but trying to use rubbing alcohol is pretty poor because it's got a lot of water in it, for one thing, so you don't get a lot of heat out of it. Isopropyl alcohol, also the way it burns, it gives off some fumes that you don't necessarily like. Now, it's not nearly as bad as the gasoline stoves. The best of the alcohol fuels to use is the ethyl alcohol, grain alcohol. That's the safest one, the cleanest one, the healthiest one to use. It's just kind of pricey. And where do you find it? Well, you go to the paint store and you're looking for lacquer thinner. That's just denatured grain alcohol, ethyl alcohol. It's denatured to make it poisonous and taste bad so you can't go home and mix it up with your juices, you know, and consume it. It's not good for you to do that with the denaturants in there. But it is still rather pricey as the disadvantage. You'll be paying $12, $14 a gallon for it, but it burns very cleanly. And it can be used much more safely indoors than the other liquid fuels. Now, one of the disadvantages of alcohol is it burns so clean and the flame is so clean that during the daytime you can't see the flame. It's a very clear blue flame. At night you see it nicely, but during the day you almost can't tell if your stove is lit or not. That's a little bit of a hazard because you may think it's out and move it, tip it over, turn it, put something by it. You should not. So handle it very, very carefully. Alcohol can be used safely inside of closed-in structures as long as you have a little bit of venting in there, but you just don't have the carbon monoxide coming off of it. Well, then we go to the gaseous fuels, and, of course, the common one that's pumped right to a lot of houses is natural gas. You can have a natural gas appliance that does not require any electricity. You can have the radiant type of heaters that have the ceramic panels. That's the best one. They have kind of a honeycomb ceramic panel, and you light those guys off, and then they glow a very bright red or orange color, and they radiate into the house. And you have some of those that are a non-vented type, and they're quite safe to use. You have to be careful about the consumption of the oxygen. You are giving off carbon dioxide, but you get just virtually no carbon monoxide at all. So they are clean burning, and 100% of the heat comes into the house, and you can get the kinds that do not require electricity to operate. If you have a forced air furnace such as I have, then when the power's off, it's off unless you have some auxiliary. The other kind of fuel that you can be using, and this is one that you can more easily store, is the propane, both propane and butane, propane being the more common nowadays. Propane is a... It's also known as LP gas. It's when it's put under pressure, it will be in a liquid state, and then as you draw off some, the liquid evaporates very quickly, turns into a gas, very much like natural gas, that you can then burn. Those can be used in the ventless radiant heaters also, or, of course, people run forced air furnaces with them. They can run your stoves and dryers and things like that so that it will generate heat for you and allow you to cook. Propane, butane, natural gas are quite safe to use inside if it's not vented, as long as it's a small flame. You know, you have a gas stove. They're not vented. That heat is just being dumped right into the house, and the combustion products are coming into the house. They produce very, very minute amounts of carbon monoxide. They're safe to use. Any flame that you see that's kind of yellow in particular, that's where you may be getting more carbon monoxide coming out of. It's a clear blue flame, it's likely to have less carbon monoxide. Now, that's a rule of thumb. That's not a guarantee. But it's one way of looking at a flame and saying, what might I be getting out of it? The natural gas is very clean burning. The propane's clean burning, produces very little in the way of carbon monoxide. It does give out carbon dioxide and water vapor. Now, the thing about the gaseous fuels, such as natural gas and propane, is they have these shutoffs on them. They're an automatic shutoff. If they're no longer burning and it gets cold, then it shuts off the fuel, because you don't want to vent that gas, that fuel, into a closed space like a house, because if it gets an ignition spark or a flame, you know, it blows the thing up. And literally that's happened a few times. See, again, it's combustible. It is explosive. And you must use it very carefully, but we've gotten to be quite safe about using natural gas and propane if you're using registered appliances that are in good, safe working order. Be careful about older devices or things that have been repaired or modified. They can, in fact, be hazardous. Well, I hope those will give you some guidelines and some tips for you to be thinking about how you might have auxiliary heat for your house if you should want to have that, how you can have some backup heating if necessary to take care of your home. But in review, and I would encourage you to go back to previous programs and learn some of the things that you've heard there on the clothing and on nutrition and safety, review these previous programs. You've got a lot of information there to help you be safe. Clothing is your first line of defense to the cold. When you have proper clothing and you take care of the body with the nutrients that it needs, especially water to begin with, to keep the furnace going, and you don't need heat. As the point I've made, I live outside regularly, temperatures below zero, no fire, no shelter. It's the clothing and the nutrition that takes care of me. Water, previous class, last week's class, very important that you listen to that on water and hydration in the winter. Because if you become dehydrated, you do not produce as much heat, much more susceptible to hypothermia. And then nutrition, just in general for the body, that you need to keep the calories, if you will. That's the fuel that your body's going to use to produce the mechanical heat that you need, or the mobility that you need, as well as generating the heat. Now, one of the things I wanted to talk about, we may pick up some of this in a future program too, are some of the kinds of events that could occur. And what do you do about them? How do you prepare yourself to deal with them? What are some of the more common things that get people in trouble in the winter? Well, what started this whole program here a few weeks back was the fact that we've had all these ice storms that occurred across Oklahoma and some areas of the country, and you had literally tens of thousands of people that were, quote-unquote suffering. I mean, they didn't have any heat in their home, and they're cold. Some of them are down in the rescue shelters and the gymnasiums and all of those places and had to leave the area. Of course, then some of them are leaving the area, and you've got these terrible ice storms that have occurred. Now you have automobile accidents, trees and power lines falling down. People are getting injured. People are hurt. People are uncomfortable. And we had a number of deaths that occurred directly related to that. Now, a tree falling on somebody because it's loaded with ice, that's not exactly a cold injury. But the people that are suffering frostbite and in hypothermia, the people that are trying to escape those conditions and get stranded in their car, and now they're cold and miserable, they have frostbitten hands or feet, those are the kinds of injuries you can absolutely avoid. For me, if I lose utilities, stay at home. I don't have any reason to go anyplace. Why would you want to go down to, the local auditorium where there's 10,000 other unhappy people coughing and hacking on each other? That's a place you don't want to go. It's far as I'm concerned, unless you're just so ill-prepared that you feel like you just have no choice. You can't stay warm at home, and you don't have water, and you don't have food and those things. My goodness, then you are a rescue case. You are a charity case that somebody has to take care of. For me, I believe that it's vitally important. I believe that it's patriotic to be prepared with food and water and taking care of yourself, these things we've been talking about. So if something happens, you're not looking, begging, asking, seeking for somebody to come save your behind. You just move into another way of living at home and go forward. So for me, it's always about being prepared. So you have the home-bound situations and the neighborhood-bound situations that you need to be prepared with. To me, that's one of the easiest ones to do because it's all just right there. Have the provisions. Have yourself prepared. So as long as you're able to stay at home with the shelter, the food, the water, your nutrition, take care of sanitation, take care of your comfort, your recreation, all those things go down that area of eight. What was it? Clothing, water, sanitation, nutrition, and then shelter. Well, you're still in your shelter, although maybe you need some plastic sheet and duct tape in case a window gets broken. So there's your shelter. And then we have things about wellness, and then you need some tools and supplies. I mean, it's so easy. If you're at home, just prepare yourself to be okay. Part of it's about changing your attitude. So it's not like, gee, the furnace doesn't work, so somehow my life is bad. If the furnace doesn't work, it means you don't have to pay the bill. I mean, it's a blessing. Look at it like that rather than something that's terrible. It's something that's kind of fun. Turn it into a game. Now then, what are the other kinds of things that could occur? And I'm running out of time this week, so we'll go into some depth next week on what you do with these things. Well, this last week, and it's happened already several times this year, we had some people that were lost and stranded on their snowmobiles. You know, storms come in, they can't get out, and there they are stuck. And you know, I read the stories about these guys out there and some of them, how they suffer terribly, how some of them are rescued, how they lose fingers and toes, you know. And, of course, then we find the ones that didn't make it. And as my friends in the search and rescue business, you know, these space blankets, in fact, the ones they make into the little reflective bags you get inside of that people think do such a marvelous job. By the way, they help, but listen to previous programs. My search and rescue friends call them body bags. Not meaning to be unkind, but it's easier to gather up the guy that froze to death in the thing because he wasn't prepared down inside of this bag, and all of his effects are right there, and you just pick them up and haul them out. I mean, I don't mean that flippantly. I just mean that this is really sad. You need to go prepared. If you're going out ice fishing, if you're going out on a snowmobile, if you're cross-country skiing or those things, you don't ever just go with just you and your transportation, whatever that is, because you're going to come back. Well, sometimes you don't make it back. Things happen. Storms, daylight, losing your way, twist an ankle. You don't have to break your leg. You just twist an ankle, and now you can only travel at half a mile an hour versus, you know, 10 miles an hour on your skis or what have you, and it's going to take you longer to get back. Never, never, ever go unprepared. And I have to remind some of my children, we still have one daughter at home right now, and they're going to go catch the school bus, and you watch these kids standing out there in their shorts. You know, it's 10 degrees and it's snowing, and these kids don't want to wear a coat because it makes them look wimpy. So they're out there and next to nothing. And look, they got a warm school bus and a warm school. I know. What happens if the school bus gets stuck? What happens if the power goes off at school and the roads are closed? It's like you learn to go prepared now all the time. What's one of the most common ways that people are stranded in the winter in the cold weather? And this is one I want you to be thinking about. We'll talk in depth about this one next week and some of these other situations. But that's the car, the automobile, the pickup, if you will, the station wagon, however it is we get stuck out there. Nowadays, on the interstates, and we're so sensitive to these things and gotten to be very good that very often they close roads, you know, to keep people from getting trapped out there, and they patrol them. But sometimes things go wrong. The road gets closed behind you and ahead of you, and it gets so bad that you just can't go forward. You slide off the road. You get stuck. The snow plows aren't running, or the highway patrol and police are patrolling, but they don't see you because you've slid off into the bank or whatever it is, or they can't get through, and there you are with the automobile. The most common way is that people go exploring. They go off up those beautiful mountain roads or out some of those deserted areas, and something happens. Cars break down, tires go flat, storms come in, cars get stuck. I've been stuck many times. That's one of the more common ones that catches people out there. Some of the others, we have occasionally light planes that go down, even commercial or military that may go down, but it's the light plane, the general aviation plane, that something happens, and there's a plane crash. You survive the crash, but now you're stuck in the winter. That's something you have to deal with on occasion. Doesn't happen often, but it does sometimes. We have other kinds of unique things that may occur that catch people out in the cold. If you're going to the grocery store, as far as I'm concerned, you take a coat and some emergency supplies. You just toss them in the car. They go with you. It may not take a whole lot because you're around people, but if it gets to be anything away from civilization, you start adding in more and more and more so that if something happens, you don't sweat it. You don't have to be afraid of it. This is about being prepared for the future event that may be occurring just right around the block, around the next bend on the road, by being prepared today. That's what preparedness is all about. It's part of your lifestyle. A little bit more after this break.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Who listening out there has an electric bill? Oh boy, I sure do. Well, what if I told you that if you live in Texas or New York State, that same electric bill can be a lot cheaper? Would you believe me? Well, you should, because EnergySwap.com can save you up at 20% on your electric bill. No joke. EnergySwap.com has rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. Now, there's no cost to switch. They've got flat rate plans and even award programs. When you switch your service to EnergySwap.com, nothing changes except the size of your bill. Enroll today and start saving money right now. It's Energy-Swap.com. Or you can call 888-238-6397. Again, that's 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
prepare without fear in these last few moments. And I would say again, you know, on that one of the products, and I'm trying a lot of the products that are listed on RBN right here, and these sponsors, I appreciate them making these programs available. But that heart and body extract, I'm liking that one. If you have, you know, a little bit of age under your belt like I do, and maybe some other things that have occurred, consider that for your some of your cardiovascular health. There's some nutritional things in there that, at least for me, are doing a nice job. I'm enjoying the product. I'm enjoying some of the benefits of it. So you may want to consider that one as something to use. And try some of the other things that the folks at RBN, these sponsors that help carry these programs, we appreciate them. And I encourage you to go to them because they make this programming available to you. Well, as we're finishing up this afternoon on the issues relative to cold weather and winter, we'll pick up some more next week, finish a few more topics here. I hope these things will help you enjoy the winter. I mean, I'm looking out my office window here and the beautiful snow that's out there and the clouds and the mountains. And the winter is such a fine time of the year. It's a beautiful time of the year. I love the change of the seasons that occur. Be prepared to be comfortable with it. Know that you can be comfortable with the winter in the cold weather. Know that you're safe for emergencies by experimenting with these things. You know, as I talk about these principles back to this law, provident living, where it is, first it's about your spiritual well-being, and that's the foundation for everything else. And then attitude. Attitude will determine whether you live or die. If your attitude about winter is, I hate winter, and I dislike winter, and I don't like snow, and it's awful and yucky and miserable and cold and what have you, well, guess what? That's what you're going to keep getting. Now, you may not be comfortable with it now because you're missing some of the understanding of things. That's what we're working to give you here. Gain the knowledge by getting correct information and then get experience with these things. Go out and play with them, test them, try them. Now then, that knowledge will allow you to change your attitude about things. Now, by the way, this general formula I call K equals I times E, knowledge equals information times experience. If you have bad information and you get some lousy experience with that, then what do you learn? You say, my knowledge is that I hate winter because it hurts. Well, it's because you got lousy information, lousy experience with it. What you need to do is have the kind of experience that I have with cold weather and winters that says, since I know how to stay warm and I take care of myself and I understand what to do and I think ahead and I'm prepared and I go outside, I can enjoy the cold and the winter. And if I travel in my car, I have some supplies with me, I have basic things with me so I don't have to be threatened. You see, if you develop an attitude by your lifestyle that simply says, hey, I know what to do, I've done it, and I'm prepared to deal with these things, then your attitude is, hey, I love winter. And I go down the roads that other people say, you better not go down that, you might get stuck. My attitude is, I hope I get stuck. I get to go snow camping for a change instead of, you know, having, I got a real excuse to not be at work. I'll just hang out and enjoy the winter. Go prepared now or in the future. That's what it's about. That changes your attitude. So it is spiritual attitude, knowledge, and stuff. Because there's no doubt that tomorrow will come and there's no dispute that things happen. But how you're prepared to meet tomorrow will make all the difference in the world. If you're prepared for the worst, then no matter what happens, it will be an adventure. And life should be an adventure because you live providently in such a way. You're making provisions in all areas so that you can face the future without fear. To me, this is about becoming a self-reliant family, interdependent within self-reliant communities. That's why I share, that's why you share, that's why we share, to help other people be prepared so that we can go through events of the future without fear. This is Jim Phillips. Prepare without fear so that you may enjoy the future without fear. Have a great day. With